Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane has got two words for you. Stop.
One cell, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Dumb Shit. Yo, tell me whose time it is now. Yeah, just kicking it up here. It's our time. Yo, here comes trouble.
We go a little bit old school with this music. Welcome everybody to the Raw Post Show live right here in Long Park. Presented as always by PW Mania, MMNamePromo.com. I am, of course, Sorokin, joined as always by the lovely and talented Lindsay Ward.
You know, if y'all stop poking me about where's Kane, I'll be in a much better mood.
Where's Trent?
There we go.
Just pointing that out. So we have 3 hours of Monday Night Raw to get into. We're going to answer the question, where's...
Somebody.
Where's Jacob Goodnight?
Well, we all know where he is. He's in the morgue. At least we hope he is.
We'll find out in next year at some point.
Probably.
So Monday Night Raw opened up with Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose standing at ringside.
Yay!
As they are now the supposed personal security for, you know, Triple H and McMahon's and whatever have you. We go back in time for what happened to Daniel Bryan last weekend at SummerSlam. Hunter labeled that business. Hunter said there was nothing personal about it, just business. Then we went back to last week's Raw. They showed, you know, Bryan getting beat down. Hunter said that was personal, embarrassing and humiliating Bryan. Hunter accused Bryan of making it personal when he insulted his wife and family at the beginning of last week's Raw. Hunter said he's willing to be the bigger man and move on. I am willing to be a business man with you, Triple H said. The choice is yours. He then told the crowd that the ratings were up last week, plus the social media buzz was strong. Yes, the social media buzz was strong. And it was.
So now we can make 4 strokes about the social media buzz?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Hunter said business is booming and it's all due to one man, the new face of WWE. Randy Orton, and then he brought out the Viper himself. He congratulated Randy Orton for breathing new life into WWE and the WWE title. And Hunter said, as the COO of the company, he likes to reward people who excel. People like Randy Orton. Hunter said he's got a little gift for Randy Orton, but you know, you heard a bunch of no chants. And Hunter said sarcastically, yes. So Hunter brings out a gift for Randy Orton with its own entrance music, which was tremendous, and it's a brand new Cadillac Escalade. Ooh, fancy.
To which we all knew immediately where this was going.
Mm-hmm. And Orton was so happy, like it's Christmas. Randy Orton said,
that's the only person that had that reaction tonight, by the way.
This is very true. I don't know what to say, Orton said. Orton thanked Hunter for the very generous gift before thanking him for the vision and business acumen to realize the only man worthy of being called WWE champion and face it, WWE is him. Before Randy Orton, you know, was about to go check out his brand new car, we had Daniel Bryan show up. Bryan walked out. Bryan said he had a good laugh checking out the Cadillac sitting there, mocking, said, that's a sweet ride. And it was well-deserved for Randy Orton, you know, because Bryan told Orton, Bryan said he has a few thank yous of his own to deliver, you know. He said he would. This would be an opportune time to thank everyone in the arena and everyone watching at home, because he might not be as pretty as Twinkle Toes, Randy Orton in the ring, but they have supported him all the way. I love the Twinkle Toes line.
That's fantastic.
Bryan then said he would like to thank John Cena. Bryan thanked him for the opportunity to wrestle in the main event of SummerSlam for the WWE title, because clearly someone like Hunter never would have given him the shot. And then lastly, and most importantly, he would like to thank Triple H. Bryan said he would like to thank Hunter for ending this charade and showing his true colors at SummerSlam. He thanked Hunter for being as narrow-minded and misguided as Vince McMahon. Bryan told everyone to look at Triple H. The former rebel who thumbed his nose at authority is just a sellout in a suit. Randy Orton interrupted to think he should think about what he's talking about right now, noting that Hunter is the COO of WWE, and he is the WWE champion. Orton reminded Bryan that he is the face of WWE. Bryan interrupted, asking the crowd to give it up for Randy Orton. Bryan said, "Night of Champions, he's going to rearrange Orton's face." He also vowed to rearrange Hunter's vision of the future and become WWE champion once again. The crowd was so excited, they were chanting, "Yes, yes, yes." Hunter, you know, interrupted, saying, "That's a sweet little fantasy you have right there." He sang, you know, as good as he boxes about Bryan, wish upon a star, but in the real world, Bryan is not an A player. Randy Orton is an A player. You, my friend, are nothing but a B, at best.
I'd like to point out, one, Hunter singing When You Wish Upon a Star was hilarious. I only wish they had cut to the Shield just to see if any of them were losing their asses.
That would have been great.
But Orton lost it in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, two, Hunter never sing again. But it was just absolutely fantastic. It's like he's being such a condescending jerk.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. And mocking Bryan with that was just perfect. It's like, oh, Hunter, how we've missed you like this so much.
Yes. Triple H said if Bryan wants to prove himself and live his dream and have his little fantasy in the ring tonight, he can have it with, well, Seth Rollins. And by the way, since Bryan is so big on his work ethic, if Bryan makes it past Seth Rollins, he can face Dean Ambrose. And if he limps away from Dean Ambrose, he gets Roman Reigns tonight.
I wouldn't mind getting Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns as a gift. That'd be nice. Hunter!
I am going to give you the gift of the Shield in a gauntlet match tonight, said Hunter. Hunter said he's giving him this gift because he believes in Bryan and he believes that this is what is best for business. So that's our main event. Gauntlet match. The Shield versus Daniel Bryan.
It's not that I don't like Seth. I like Seth. I don't know. It's something about Dean and Roman that I just like better. But yeah, King Kittens brings up a funny point. So, Hunter brought Orton and Escalade. Does that mean they're going to break in the back seat later?
Hashtag Total Divas.
Hashtag Total Divas.
So, that was a fun start to the show.
This was a fantastic start to the show. It really carried over what happened last week nicely. And it's if nothing else, it has further emphasized that Hunter is now in charge. Orton is Hunter's puppet. And Hunter is taking full control. I mean, at this point, Brad Max is kind of superfluous to Hunter, but I love him when he's like this. Because he's so good at it.
He really is. He really is, yeah.
And so this is just, you're seeing Brian, it's like they're building these insurmountable odds for Brian to rise against. And it's almost how much can Daniel Bryan take before he gives up.
Right.
And they're kind of putting him in that position to be the next Cena where he never gives up. He keeps fighting no matter what. And that's, you can almost see them setting Brian up like that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. We get our app poll of the night. CM Punk versus Curtis Axel non-title. Stipulation is your choice. A, Heyman is banned from ringside. B, Heyman is a special ref. Or C, if Punk wins, Heyman's forced to get into the ring with CM Punk. But before we get to
Wait. Before we get to that, I just have to say, King basically hinting to the audience, vote for C the entire time was hilarious.
Yes, that was. Our first contest of the evening is Cody Rhodes versus Fandango.
It was a good match. We had Damian Sandow on commentary.
Yes, it was a really quick, short match. Out came Ms. Dango.
I don't know. I don't want to know. He looked awful in those pants.
Yeah, but we saw the return of Rosa Mendez.
We did! She's looking very nice, very lovely.
So the Ms. Dango distraction led Cody Rhodes to roll up Fandango. And then we get Brad Maddox, and he makes... And then after the match, Sandow jumps Rhodes. 2-on-0 attack. Miz makes a save, and Maddox makes a tag team match. Right now, The Miz and Cody Rhodes versus Damian Sandow and Fandango.
Yay.
Yay. It was quick, short, to the point. You know, Miz and Cody Rhodes won. As Fandango left his partner high and dry, and then, you know, did his routine that he's Fandango.
It worked.
Furthers the feuds between all four men.
Yes.
As you know, they mentioned, you know, Jerry Lawler was trying to sway the audience by saying he wants to see their vote. Get it? See their vote.
Their vote.
I like that Bradshaw was, you know, don't try to persuade the audience, King.
There is nothing wrong with persuading the audience for the right choice.
Exactly.
Hush, JBL. Just hush. Yeah,
exactly. We then have Jeff Matthews backstage with Christian. Matthews asked Christian for his thoughts on Triple H. Christian said it seems like anytime someone says something about the new regime, they suffer dire consequences. Christian said he has the battle scars from the McMahon-Helmsley era to prove it. Randy Orton then interrupted and vowed to give Christian an RKO in the ring tonight. And Christian then laughed and said that Piers Hunter has found a new tool to work with.
And burn,
yes. CM Punk, they showed a video of CM Punk from the WWE app, if you didn't know there's an app. But before that, Michael Cole plugged, you can go to the Tout app to get a video of Paul Heyman reacting to the app votes from the WWE app.
Even though we got a reaction on the show.
But it wasn't a Tout. That was too many apps. That was too many apps in one sentence.
Yeah, they were back to fully promoting WWE app and Tout tonight.
Yes. CM Punk basically shut down option B and pitched for, well, option C, saying he wants to give it to Paul Heyman bad tonight. Paul Heyman, as Lindsay said, reacted. He glared at with disdain on his face, while Axel smiled and, Heyman was complaining about the app vote. Then Axel calmed him down, said he's got this situation under control. Axel asked Heyman if he believes him. Believes in him. Heyman didn't seem so confident, but Reza said, yeah. Said, and I quote, as if my life depends on it.
Because it kind of does.
It kind of really sort of does. So once again, Lawler wants to see their votes. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Because it leads us to our next contest, CM Punk versus Curtis Axel in a non-title match, and 81% of the WWE Universe wants to see option C. So if Punk wins, he gets Heyman.
One second. King Kittens, corner!
Well, you have power to do things if you really want to.
I'm not going to kick him out of the chat. Just corner, now!
You could. You could if you wanted to.
I could if I wanted to, but that's just rude. I'll yell at him instead, because it's easier.
Okay. So we get the match, CM Punk versus Curtis Axel, 1-on-1. Heyman's, you know, teasing himself up on the stage was fantastic throughout this entire matchup. This was really good.
This was a good match between the two. They're doing a nice job of building the match between the two, but it's what happened after the match that really overshadowed it and was really the heart of this whole segment.
After a back-and-forth contest, CM Punk hits the GTS, getting the clean win over Curtis Axel, which means Paul Heyman has to get in the ring with CM Punk.
He does.
Heyman bailed, but referees brought him to the ring.
No, he bailed, referees kicked him back out on the stage, Punk then got out of the ring, and Heyman ran for it, only to be dragged back by security.
That's right.
And they drug him to the ring and threw him in the ring for Punk.
Yes, they brought him to the ring to the Punk, and then before CM Punk could get his hands on him, Curtis Axel gets out a low blow. Which, was nicely timed.
It was nicely timed.
And then things got a little bit interesting as it, sort of got kinky as they pulled out some handcuffs.
Paul Heyman must have done that before. That's all I can say. Because he pulled those out and it's like, kind of did it in this sort of slow, devious, evil manner.
He always has an ace up his sleeve, or in this case, handcuffs in the pocket. So they handcuff, Curtis Axel's handcuffs, CM Punk's hands behind his back. And Paul Heyman was, ready to strike him. He got up, Punk was able to get up, kick Axel in the head. Then he swept the leg out of Paul Heyman, and he was kicking him a few times. And then Curtis Axel comes back in the ring with a steel chair. And then, things got a little bit more interesting.
Did.
Paul Heyman was handed a kendo stick, and the look on Paul Heyman's in his eyes when he got that stick, he just delivered shot after shot after shot to CM Punk.
Oh God, it was just, the look on Heyman's face was just pure unadulterated evil.
Mm-hmm. The kendo stick broke. Punk was put onto the outside of the ring. He held him up on the side of the ring, on the ring apron. Paul Heyman delivered shot after shot right to him. Punk was on the outside, more shots to him, and then Paul Heyman was screaming, "You broke my heart. I loved you." He said that a bunch of times throughout this promo, but he just delivered shot, insult after insult, and an injury after injury to CM Punk. This was a fantastic segment.
Oh, the touch of Heyman as he's hitting Punk. He's beating Punk with the stick of saying, you know, I loved you. You were my best friend. You broke my heart. I fathered you. I made you.
Mm-hmm.
Was just beautifully done. And it was that icing on the cake. And it's like, it was... It just added just that nice little extra touch to this segment that, you know, it really didn't need, but it's almost like you can't picture the segment without him doing that.
Mm-hmm. It just pushed it right to the limit where it needed to go. We've always talked, they got to push it. They got to push the limits. And just watching him give him shot after shot with that cane,
it was God.
Perfect. It added that personal animosity to the feud that it already had, but it needed that a little bit more because, yeah, it just, you could see how personal it is between Punk and Heyman.
Oh, yeah, it's just, it's taking it to that next level. It's taking it where it needs to go because all of us sat here and were like, damn, Brock versus Punk was awesome. Now, how are they going to take it from here? Or where are they going to take it from here, kind of thing? And now we see it where they're just escalating it further.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, Heyman is just literally throwing paraffin on the fire at this stage. Literally doing it. And it's just, this was a phenomenally done segment. And just really almost, it really almost made Raw for me. Just for this one segment, because it was so well done.
This is a really good segment. They showed a WWE exclusive on the app, from the app, that, well, Punk's back was all destroyed from those shots.
Oh, it looked horrific.
As he slowly walked up that ramp, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Punk. I mean, you could tell. Heyman did not hold anything back with that kendo stick. Like, you can tell.
Yeah.
Just from the shots and from the picture of CM Punk walking up the ramp afterwards. Yeah, Punk. Heyman didn't pull any shots.
No, he didn't. So, if you can, go back and watch the segment. It was fantastic. Up next, JoJo is in the ring as the special guest ring announcer for Natalya versus Brie Bella in your Total Divas match of the night. Natty had the sharpshooter on. Then the girls got involved. Brie was screaming for Nikki to help. She pulled her out of the ring. A lot of chaos goes on, and Natalya was distracted. Brie rolled her up, got the pin over Natty, so they even up the match series 1-1. Brie wins this match. Yes.
Again, it was a match. The shenanigans that happened on the outside, was what it was. Was not as good as it was at the pay-per-view.
No, because they didn't have enough time. They had about 2 minutes.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's again, it's what happened after this match. Holy crap! That was just fantastic. Do we have audio of it? Please tell me we have audio of it.
Well, thank you. Thanks to WWE.com. Here we go.
Didn't use that word on there.
OMG, you guys. I just watched last night's episode of Total Divas, and it was insane. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the Bellas were dealing with their obvious daddy issues. The Funkadactyls broke up and then got back together again. Natalya's fiancé isn't much of a man. And the other two were also there. It was great. It really was. And it was the end of the world, and it's only Sunday night on the E! Network! Do you want to know what I see when I look in that ring? Honestly? A bunch of cheap, interchangeable, expendable, useless women. Women who have turned to reality television because they just weren't gifted enough to be actresses. And they just weren't talented enough to be champions.
I was standing right here!
I
your Divas Division. I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. Why? So a bunch of ungrateful, stiff plastic mannequins can waltz on through without even as much as a thank you? You guys can't even go backstage and shake my hand and look him in the eye because you know that I worked my entire life to get here. I gave my life to this, and you were just handed 15 minutes of fame. I didn't get here because I was cute, or because I came from some famous wrestling family, or because I sucked up to the right people.
Earn.
I got here because I am good. I earned this championship, and no matter how many red carpets you guys want to walk in your $4,000 ridiculous heels, you will never be able to lace up my Chuck Taylor. You are all worthless excuses for women, and you will never be able to touch me. And that is reality.
I just like to say, how do you follow CM Punk and Paul Heyman? You have AJ Lee walk out there and drop a pipe bomb on the Divas Division. The only thing I wish they had done is killed the audio at the ring so you didn't hear the fellas yapping their jaws the entire time.
But that was amazing.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. It was bravo, AJ Lee. If you didn't see this, go back and watch it, because her facial reactions when she starts the promo are hilarious.
JBL summed it up perfectly. Crazy just spoke some truths.
Pretty much. And Mace made the same point I did. I love how the Bellas were screaming, "Say it to our face," when AJ's standing on the stage saying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's not on the video. It's like she's not backstage somewhere. She's on the stage in front of you saying it. So technically, ladies, she did say it to your face. Just pointing that out. But the burn
sucking up to the right people.
Sucking up to the right people. No talent actresses who, you know, who basically didn't deserve to be there. I mean, just God, she hit every nail on the head and it was so well done. It's like, thank you, AJ. And this is coming from two people who love Total Divas, but it's like, thank you, AJ. We heart you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love Total Divas, and you can catch our Total Divas special this week on RockRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com, which we'll be recording this week. And you can check out our review of last week's episode now airing on the website.
But yeah, sorry, I stole the segment. So what were your thoughts on it?
Fantastic. Fantastic. There's no other words to describe it. It was fantastic. So we'll move on. Alberto Del Rio. Rob Van Dam with Ricardo. Van Dam, if you're going to have Ricardo do the intro, have Van Dam there so he can actually do the pose when he says Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, I know.
But beyond that, RVD Del Rio, non-title match. Pretty good match.
Very solid match. Very entertaining. Not really any complaints.
The beginning started off a little rough, but they got their stuff together as they came back from break. Ricardo got up on the announce table and started doing Rob Van Dam, Rob Van Dam, Rob Van Dam, and RVD was able to roll up Del Rio after the distraction to become the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title at Night of Champions. So we have more to look forward to on that. Backstage, Josh Matthews was talking to Ryback and basically bullied him. That's all that was.
Nothing of real consequence happened.
He just bullied him. Backstage, Heyman and Curtis Axel were shown walking around in the parking lot. Renee Young asked for their thoughts on what happened out there. Axel said Punk will never forget what happened to him tonight. Heyman says Punk is like a petulant child who needs to keep getting punished and punished and punished. Honestly, Renee, I feel like a man right now, Heyman said. Heyman said his prodigal son was humiliated and beaten by his own father figure. And now my prodigal son, CM Punk, is going to learn that Paul Heyman is the last person he should come up against. Bravo, Heyman.
Oh, and his facial expression in this one, too. Mm-hmm. It was like the devil. I mean, good lord. He just, Heyman was money tonight.
He really was. Come back from break, it's third hour, Randy Orton, Christian, non-title match, great match.
This is pay-per-view quality, all the way.
There was a spot, there was a spot where Christian fell off the top rope, and that hurt. Looked like it hurt.
There were a couple nasty spots, because it's like, Christian fell off the top rope and went splat, or it looked like he hurt himself on the superplex, and then it looks like Christian maybe got his receipt on the facebuster.
Right.
Because he dropped Orton right on his face.
So, great matchup. Christian gave it his all, but was done in by a thumb to the eye and an RKO. Randy Orton wins the match. So, what happened afterwards? Daniel Bryan appears on the Titantron. He sarcastically applauds Randy Orton for his A-plus performance in the ring tonight, and that's coming from a B talent. Bryan said he is standing backstage in front of Randy Orton's shiny new car. He asked Randy Orton what would happen if he beats him at Night of Champions. Would that make him the new face of WWE? And, well, there was a simple answer, and that word was yes, as it was spray painted all over his new car. The Yescalade, as Michael Cole called it. Yeah.
That was fantastic.
We all knew something was up, and I love how Twitter found the picture of a broken Cadillac Escalade and thought, oh, this was taped backstage at Raw, broken up. So someone leaked the picture of a broken car, and the internet on Twitter fell for it.
Well done, WWE. Well played. Well, it's like whenever they do something like that, whether it's somebody gets a car or a nice gift, it's going to get trashed. You know it's going to get trashed. And no offense, that was actually a really nice car.
Oh, it was. They must have some sort of deal where they can get their town Escalades. Or big, fancy cars. Anyway. Great segment. We all knew it was coming, and the Yescalade is now a word. We come
as back. It should be, by God.
Yeah. As we come back from break, Brad Maddox is talking with Triple H and Randy Orton as they survey the damage that has happened to the car. Hunter said this vehicle is his personal property, and that WWE title is his personal property, which he is letting Randy Orton hold on to. Hunter then was very angry and told Brad Maddox to line up the entire roster, put him on stage to watch what happens to Daniel Bryan tonight. Hunter said that if anyone decides to walk down that entrance ramp and get involved, he will fire that person on the spot. Every last one of them. and he will do it with a smile on his face. Orton told Hunter that he will make Brian pay for this. This is Hunter at his best.
Oh, it was, again, this, you can't go wrong with this segment. You really can't. You have Hunter classically abusing his authority. Classically doing it. I mean, you really, you can't complain about this segment.
No, you can't. We then move on to, if you can't feed them, don't breed them, Jack Swagger versus Titus O'Neil.
Oh, Zeb Culture, you're such a special snowflake.
I know. Titus O'Neil won. Solid match.
This was the point where I really wasn't paying attention because I'm sitting here going, where the hell are the Wyatts? Because it's like, you know, half hour before the end of the show and they haven't shown up yet. Anyway, sorry, continue.
He's really pushing it right now.
Kane Kittens! Well, gee, you know, I wonder how he felt about Christian falling off the ring and landing Spread Eagle. Because, you know, we got a perfect view of his Wong. You think Kane Kittens went, oh, hey, look at his thing?
I think he did say, oh, hey, look, there's this thing.
You're welcome, King Kittens.
So, Titus O'Neil won. We then got a recap of what happened to Kane at SummerSlam. And then we get the video from WWE.com, the exclusive, of Sister Abigail. It was an interesting video.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, they released it either Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really, really good video. It's extremely creepy. And it's very, very well done, but it's... This is... I'm not sure whether I should go off or not. Like, I'm debating it, other than I've been sitting here now since SummerSlam, and for me, it's, where is Kane? What the hell have they done with Kane? And it's... I'm not getting the answer, and they're aggravating me to the point of distraction, because I want to know. I have to know this. Kind of thing, and they're not telling me.
And I quote Bray Wyatt on Twitter, the monster likes it here. Hashtag obey.
Okay, now. To be fair, he may not be talking about Kane.
Who else could he be talking about?
Himself?
No, he wouldn't be talking about himself. The monster. It's Kane. That's who it is.
You sure?
Yes. I'm 100% positive. She doesn't like my answer.
I don't like your answer. I reject your answer.
But it's the truthful answer.
I want a picture of Kane in the house. That's what I want. Because, honestly, they could do some really freaky Bates Motel, Norman Bates, psycho-type crap with this. They really, really, really could, especially with the Sister Abigail promo. The first thing I thought was Sister Abigail in the basement and somebody finds her.
Right.
A la Psycho. Just, you know, that's the first thing I thought they could do with it. And it's like... They're doing a really nice job with this. It's just like, I want more. And that's why I say they're doing a really nice job with it, because they're making me want more. They're making me want to see the Wyatts every week, because I want to know what they did with Kane.
Right. And you can tell they're taking their time because, well, they're not sure yet.
No, they're not sure yet. And I think they're kind of maybe putting them in a holding pattern until such time as they can figure that out.
Right. So, yeah, go check out the Sister Abigail promo. It is fantastic.
Oh, it is. It's so well done.
Brad Maxx is in his office talking to Dr. Samson, someone was refusing medical attention. That person was CM Punk. Apparently CM Punk is refusing it, and he, you know, doesn't want it because after the beating he took from Paul Heyman, you know, he just wants to get his hands on him. He wants a match with Paul Heyman. You know, he told him to book it or else. Maddox said, it will be Punk against Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman in a handicap elimination match, and if Heyman tries to back out, he will never be seen again. Punk said, that better happen or else Maddox will never be seen again. Now it's time for your main event. You have the roster on the stage. Daniel Bryan versus The Shield in a gauntlet match. Renee Young tried to talk to The Big Show, Dolph Ziggler, and The Miz, and they weren't going to, you know, really say anything about what happened because they don't want to get fired. But I thought The Big Show had immunity or ironclad contract and it couldn't be fired.
He re-signed it.
There you go. So Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, holy crap, that suplex off the top rope.
Oh my god. We're going to get spoiled with all these really good wrestling matches. Mm-hmm. Just seriously, we're going to get spoiled.
Rollins being, you know, the Daniel Bryan's dive and Rollins falling backwards, flipping around over and over again on the announce table.
Oh my god.
Seth Rollins was bumping his ass off in this matchup. So it was basically Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins for a long time. Daniel Bryan was eventually able to hit his new knee strike finisher for the win over Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose quickly got in a ring attack, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan quickly got the lock locked in, but Reigns came in and caused the disqualification. So he then fought Reigns for a minute, and then Dean Ambrose interfered, and that caused the disqualification. So Bryan wins via disqualification. Put the Shield, then beat down Daniel Bryan. You have the entire roster watching on stage. After the beatdown, Triple H comes out, looks at everybody. You're going to interfere. No one's doing anything. Then he gives a nod to the Shield, who deliver a triple powerbomb to Daniel Bryan. Hot Big Show was like pissed off, but he couldn't do anything about it. Out came Randy Orton. Triple H just stared at Randy Orton and then gave him the nod. Go right ahead. So the Shield holds up Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan. For Randy Orton to give him an RKO. Strong, strong, strong finish to this show.
Oh, this was great. Again, you've got Hunter completely, totally abusing his authority. You've got the Shield taking full advantage of that. They're running rampant all over Daniel Bryan. It's really very... This was a fantastic way to close the show.
And you just saw the roster. Some of them, they wanted to do something, but they knew better. They did,
right.
Just couldn't do it. And it's just... Daniel Bryan is being sacrificed for the betterment of the business. So it's like, this is great stuff.
Oh, this is fantastic storytelling. I said it at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again. They are building these completely unsurmountable odds for Bryan to surpass. And when Bryan surpasses them, it's going to be an absolutely fantastic moment. Because it's like, well, can Bryan do it? Can he overcome all these odds? Because it's like you've got Bryan basically facing the power of corporate WWE in Triple H, in The Shield, eventually in Stephanie and Vince McMahon, because they'll play a role in this as well. So it's, can Bryan overcome all of that to gain the WWE Championship? And when that happens, it will be a tremendous moment for him and will cement him as a star in that company. Not that he's already not being cemented as one now, but it's just going to further emphasize that fact.
He's over with the crowd, but now he's being put in the position to be the top babyface of the company and a main eventer for a long, long time.
Yes, absolutely.
I love this new Hunter. I love Bryan. I love Randy Orton in this angle. The Shield are doing a great job. This is a great storyline. They're telling great stories. It's fantastic. I'm enjoying this so much.
It is. It makes you want to watch Raw every week. It really does, because it's, well, what are they going to do next? And it's, everybody right now is playing their parts so perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Without question. This is great storytelling, and it's fantastic. It's very enjoyable. This was a really good and fun addition. There were all two big, hot angles is what you wanted, and they told great stories throughout the night.
Agreed.
And you mix in some great wrestling. It was overall a pretty good show.
It was. It really was. So bravo to WWE. Well done.
Anything else before we wrap this shindig up?
I got nothing.
So with that being said, you've been listening to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Join us Thursday night, Lindsay, for The Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, tune in. We are going to be talking all about this week's Impact. We're going to be talking about news, notes. You might have a discussion or two. Tune in, listen. Also, tune in to the Rack Extra for Total Divas. We will be recording it probably in the next few days, so look for that at the end of the week, where we are going to be talking about episode 5.
Visit therackradioshow.com and for all that information. Saturday night, midnight ish at CB Radio with myself, Rob Hart, Subway, and Ace. We talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Beforehand, we get evil with Cards Against Humanity. Check it out. WildTalkRadio.com around 10 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace. They cover the week in pro wrestling. We'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here at 11:30 p.m. Eastern every single Monday night. Check us out, WTRProductions.net. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. You can go to my Behance, behance.net/Linsward. I've got a new piece up there called Sister Abigail. Check it out. And go to CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. For those of you interested, Casty Riley is also going to be having a pay-per-view for his new wrestling company, SCW, I believe. Sorry, I'm still trying to learn it all.
Southern Wrestling Superstars, something along those lines.
Yes, so go to his Facebook.com/CastyRiley for that, for all the news, notes, and information on that, on where you can get tickets, or where you can actually watch the iPay-per-view.
We'll have more details Thursday on the Rack, if you're interested.
Yes, we'll have more details. I'll actually have the information in front of me.
Thanks to PWMania.com, thanks to MemLanePromo.com. This has been another edition of the Raw Post Show live from across the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com. For Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rocky. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack. And right back here for another edition of the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio.com.